Today's daf is Vachem daf Samachay. We left off on daf Samachay Amud Aleph. We got to the end of the Mishnah on Samachay Amud Aleph. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, and it's Lezecher Nishmas, his mother, whose yard site is tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and the name is Rachel Leah Bas Chaim Asher HaKohen, the Neshama Shel Aben Aliyah, and it's also dedicated by Henry Lezecher Nishmas, Rebbetzin Peshe Yenta Weiss, Pashiyenta Bas, for some reason I'm forgetting the name, Bas something Aryeh, I remember, Bas Yisrael Aryeh, and the Neshama Shel Aben Aliyah. We thank Henry very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding at the Mishnah, right after the Mishnah on Daf, Samachay Amud Aleph, for at the Gemara. The Gemara is going to, we had just gone through in the Mishnah all of the details, the halachos of an Olas Ha'ov. But we didn't say where we know all of those halachas of Olas Ha'ov, so most of Amud Aleph is just going to be showing where in the Pasuk we derive these halachos of an Olas Ha'ov that we had. And then the Gemara is going to explain the machlokas, whether the mitzui could be done on the Amma that is right above the Chut HaSikra, meaning right below the Sovev. Certainly the mitzui of the Olas Ha'ov has to be on the top half of the Mizbeach. So the Kohen is standing on the Sovev, so can he go beneath him and do the mitzui in that top Amma beneath him? Is still the top half of the Mizbeach. So there is a machlokas about that. We're going to try to figure out what exactly that machlokas is about. And then the Gemara is going to discuss how they removed the notza from the Olas Ha'ov. And then the Gemara is going to discuss about there's a machlokas between our Tana and another Tana, Rav Lozer Rebbe Shimon, whether if one is mavdil by a chatas ha'ov, if one cuts off the head of a chatas ha'ov, because one of the major differences between Olas Ha'ov and chatas ha'ov is that by Olas Ha'ov you cut both simanim, so you completely sever the head. By a chatas ha'ov, only one. So there's machlokas Tanaim, if you're mavdil by a chatas ha'ov, is a puzzle or not. So the Gemara is going to have three suggestions as to what that machlokas is really all about, why they argue about whether being mavdil by chatas ha'ov will puzzle it or not. So let's begin again, Samachay Amud Aleph. We are at the Gemara right after the Mishnah. So Tan Rabbanan, we have a Braisa that's going to darshan each phrase in the pasuk that tells us about the Olas Ha'ov. And the pasuk says, just the whole pasuk is v'hikrivo ha'kohen al mizbeach umalak So we darshan. Why does the pasuk have to say v'hikrivo l'fi shenemar? Because the pasuk prior to it says v'hikriv minatorim omin bnei hayona. So it doesn't have to say that they were makrovid. It should have just started out with the malika. It should have said malika koinus rosho. We were already told that they are makriv. So why does it have to say v'hikrivo shiyachol hamisnadev oflo yivchos Mishnei Predin? Because you might think that if you take a nedava that you're going to bring an oaf, that you have to bring at least two birds. Tamalomar vihikrivo afilu preda achas yavi. That's what vihikrivo teaches me, that you could bring even preda achas, even one bird is good enough for the karban for the olas nedava. You only need to bring one bird. The Briska Rav points out, he's medayik from Rashi in Maseches Krisus and Daftas, that a full karban of birds is two birds, meaning when it's a chiddush that our Gemara is mechadesh that you can bring like a half a carbon. One bird is considered like a half a carbon. And he points out that this yisod can be can explain a number of different things. First of all, the Gemara increases over there says that a ger brings, when a ger brings carbonos. We're not used to this idea. We do gerus all the time, but we require mila, tevila, kabbalah mitzvos. But there was another requirement. There was carbonos. In fact, the whole discussion: how is it that we're able to mekabel gerim bismanas? They can't fulfill all the requirements. One of the requirements is karbanos. But amongst those karbanos that a ger brings is he's supposed to bring a behema achas and shnei ofos. One behema and two ofos. So why two ofos and not one oaf? After all, he's bringing one behema because we don't find that you only bring one oaf, the Gemara says. You always bring two. So the Gemara says, what do you mean we don't find that you only bring one? That's our brisa that we just quoted, our Gemara. We just said that melame, that you could bring even one. So the Gemara over there says, yeah, that's only benedava, but bechova we never find it. Bechova we never find that you can bring one oaf. It's only when you're volunteering to bring a karban. So the Gemara seems to be telling us is that it's a gilui milsa, that from we see from there that the chova is always to bring shnei ofos. But it could be, says the Briska Rav, that the chiddush of the Torah is that you're allowed to be misnadev prey da achas, that's only benedava. But bechova, the din is that you have to bring a carbon shalem. Benedava, you could bring a half a carbon. But bechova, you have to bring a carbon shalem. You could have understood that chova, you bring shnayim, that to bring two carbonos. No, it's one carbon, but that's the minimum of one carbon. The Briskarov explains also that's how we understand in the second paragraph of Maseches Kinim, it says that you don't bring a benyona keneged tur velo tur keneged benyona. If you bring a kan, you have to bring both from the same min. You bring a set of birds, you have to bring them both from the same min. They're either both benyona or they're both torim. It can't be that one is the tur and the other one is benyona. And that's by someone who's misnadev a kan, that even though you could have been misnadev a preda achas, but if you're misnadev a kan, then you have to bring them both the same. Well, that's counterintuitive. I would think if I could be misnadev preda achas, why can't I be misnadev a tor? Okay, stop. Then be misnadev ben yona. Meaning, why can't I be misnadev them together? Yeah, you can. You could be misnadev two half karbanos, but if you're misnadev a kan, you're misnadev a karbanov, so then it's one karban. The two together form one carbon. That's how the Briskarov explains this idea. It happens to be, it's always a tor or a ben yonah. It's a discussion in the Rishonim what it is about those birds in particular. The Ramban writes in Chumash, Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra writes, because they are easy they're very common birds to find, so it's easy, and we don't bring tarnagolim because they're marba biznus. They have certain characteristics. And he says when the Torah says to bring torim, it's the gedolim, it's the larger torim, and by yonim, it's b'nei yonah, it's the smaller yonim, because the larger torim are dveikim b'nei zugam, they connect to their zivug much more than others, and it's a symbol to the fact that Klal Yisrael has a dveikus b'Hashem, that once the Torah connects with its zivug, it doesn't connect with anyone else, it has this incredible loyalty. So too, Klal Yisrael has this incredible loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas a Yona is machlif ben zuga, it will find a new partner. So we dafka bring bnei Yona when they're very young, before they get to that stage, because of other qualities that a Yona has. Yona has certain qualities that the Gemara highlights. The Klal Yisrael is compared to a Yona. So we have that. The Ramban understands that the idea is that the character of these birds. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says, no, it's because a tor, as it gets a little bit older, tastes better. A yonah tastes very good when it's a baby. So we try to bring the choicest meat. The Ramban says, it's ridiculous. A yonah has no meat. A baby yonah, there's nothing to eat. There's no taste because there's nothing to eat from the ben yonah. So that's a machlokas that you have in the Rambam and Ramban about the idea of why it is that we bring these kabanos. Okay, then the Brisa continues to darshan the psukim. Elam is be'ach matam lomar. What does the pasuk say? Elam is be'ach matam lomar ha-kohen. Why does it have to say that the kohen brings it to the Mizbeach, Likboa lo Kohen, to tell me that the Malika could not be done by a Zar. You know, we learned Shechitas Ksheri Bazar, but Malika Sa'ov can only be done by a Kohen. Sheyachol Valodinu, you might have thought to make a Kavachomer. Umma Ben Son, Shekavalo Tzafon lo Kavalo Kohen, if when it comes to a sheep, you have a carbon that's a Behema, where it has to be shechted in the north, and the north part of the Azara, and nevertheless, we still don't have a demand that the Shechita be done by a Kohen. It could even be done by a zar of shalom kavalot tzafon, by a malika sa'of, where it's kosher even if it's not in the tzafon. There is no requirement of the tzafon, so inodin shalik below Kohen. So all the more so, it shouldn't require a Kohen. So Tamalomar HaKohen, Lekvah LaKohen. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me, no, that we do require a Kohen. It's very interesting. We're saying as if that when you bring a Behema, we're very demanding in where the Shechita happens. It has to only happen in the Tzafon. By the Oath, there's no requirement in Tzafon. It could be wherever. Not really. Well, that's not what we learned. It can't really be wherever. It has to be on the Rosh Shel Mizbeach, which also, by the way, is Tzafon according to Rabbi Yossi, and therefore there's no Kal V'chomer at all, because by Oaf, first of all, we're more particular about where it is, but even more poignantly, according to Rabbi Yossi, the entire Mizbeach is B'Tzafon, the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach is B'Tzafon, so it is, we are Kovei HaTzafon for the Malika Sa'of. And even if you say the mizbech is betzalf, the whole kabel chomer is therefore difficult. So the Chazon Yecheskel suggests that the malika itself, we are kaveh the makom and the rosh of mizbech, but the kaveh of makom is not on the bird itself. It's the kaveh of makom is for the person who's doing the malika. He could be molik in the amah tachas asoviv, even if there's no yisod underneath it, and it's not over the avir mizbech, as opposed to by the tzafon of the shechita. It's a din in the carbon, it's a din in the animal. So, meaning there is no, it's true, technically it has to be done in a particular location, but that's not a din in the cheftza, so to speak, in the bird. It's a din in the gavra, it's the din of the person who is being molik, but we have no such requirements about the bird itself. Let's say the person had extraordinarily long arms and he was able to reach many bas paro, you know, he was able to reach all the way across. It wouldn't matter, as long as he's standing b'tzafon, it would be totally fine. There is no din of where the bird has to be in particular. That's what Chazon Yecheskel suggests. So Yachul Yemukana B'Sakin, you might think that Malika is done with a knife, Vidinu, and you could really say a Kavla Chomer to make a compelling case. Umayim Shechita Shlo Kavla Kohen Kavla Kli, by Shechita, where there's no requirement that it be done by a Kohen, it could even be done by a Zar, and nevertheless, we're Kaveh that there be a Kli. Malika Shekavla Kohen, a Malika where you do have to have a Kohen, and Odinshi Yekvala Kli. So you would think, all the more so, we should demand that it be done with a knife. Tamalomar Kohen Umalak, that it's the Kohen who does the Malika, meaning that it has to be done directly with the Kohen himself, with the Gufo Shel Kohen. Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not coming to tell me that he's got to do the Malika. Says, keep in mind, we have this requirement that it be done on the Mizbeach, so there's no other option of who else could be doing it besides for a Kohen. So obviously the Pasuk is not telling me that it's a Kohen as opposed to a Zar. It's telling me Kohen means Ba'atmo Shel Kohen, that it can't be done with a Kli, that he has to do it with his own body, that the Malika has to be done with his own body. Chatas Ha'of, that it's done Ba'atmo Shel Kohen, is learned from Gzer Shava Malak Malak Me'olas Ha'of, meaning the Pasuk is Ba'olas Ha'of, but this Halacha is going to apply to a Chatas Ha'of as well, and that we derive from Gzer Shava, Tosas points out over here. So Yachl Yimlekana Bein Milamala Bein Milamata. You might think you could do the Malika on any part of the Mizbech, top of the Mizbech, bottom of the Mizbech, that it shouldn't make a difference. So Tamalomar Umalak Vihiktir Maktar Barosha Mizbech Av Malika Barosha Mizbech. Just like the Haktar is done Dafka on the top of the Mizbech, because by definition, because that's where the Maracha is, so too the Malika has to be done Dafka on the top of the Mizbech. So the Brisa darshins further. Umalak, the Pasuk says, Mimul Oref. Where is the Malika done? The back of the neck of the animal. Yesterday we discussed exactly how they would hold the animal, where the animal's mostly on the bird is on the back of the hand, the front of the hand, and where the fingers were placed. Fine, but Umalak, it's Mimul Oref. The actual Malika with the thumb is the back of the neck of the bird. So Ata Omer, Mimul Oref. Oweinu Ela Minat Savar. Well, you know, Shechita normally happens at the front of the neck, so maybe Malika also should be the front of the neck. Vidinu. And I could tell you a compelling case that it should be the case meaning the dinner over here is not that havamina the other way. It's to say, and I'll show you why it has to be mimul oref, because nemar kanu malak v'nemar la'alan by chatas of, it also says umalak malalan mimul oref, just like by chatas of it's mimul oref, it's on the back of the neck. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says it. The pasuk says by chatas of umalak es rosho mimul orpo. So afkan mimul oref. So over here also it's got to be done mimul oref. So, imalahalan. So says, well, okay, you're going to compare olasof to chatasof. You know what we know by chatasof? Molik ve'eno mavdil. By chatasof, you don't cut both simanim. You only cut one simin. Afkan molik ve'eno mavdil. Would you say, therefore, through this gzer shav, I have to learn all the halachos of chatasof to olasof, so you shouldn't cut both simanim? Tamlomar umalak vehiktir. That's why the pasuk says molik vehiktir, to tell me mahaktara rosh liatzmo v'guf liatzmo af malika rosh liatzmo. Just like when it comes to the Haktara, the body and the head are burnt separately, so too when it comes to the Malika, you make it so that the body and the head are separate. There is a Machlokas Rishon, and whether that means that you literally decapitated, or you just cut Shnei Simanim, and that's called a Hafrada Legamri. Certainly when you burn it, it's already fully decapitated, because you got to throw the head first, and then you cut the body in two halves like we learned yesterday, and then you throw the body. But at the Shas Malika, that's Machlokes Rishonim, whether this idea of being mafrid really means that you're actually mafrid the entire, you cut off that entirely. Okay, but how do I know that din of Haktara that we said in our Mishnah, that you burn the head separately from the body? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'hiktir osov, harei Haktaras haguf amura, hamani mekayim, v'hiktir amizbecha. Why does the Torah have to tell me v'hiktir amizbecha, v'haktaras harosh, hakas medaber? So it's telling me that you're maktir the rosh, separately from being maktir the guf. And we learn Malika from there, so Malika also has to separate the rosh from the guf. Vinim tzadamo, and then we talk about the mitzui adam, the squeezing out the blood onto the mizbech, so we learn that kulo. Damo means all of its blood. El kira mizbech, on the wall of the mizbech, velo el kira kevesh, velo el kira heichal, not on the wall of the kevesh, nor on the wall of the heichal, ve'eza ze, zekir elyon, which wall of the mizbech? The top half of the mizbech. Are you sure? Maybe it means the bottom half of the mizbech. Vidinu, and we can learn from a kal v'chomer that it should be the bottom half of the mizbech, because ma behema shechat tasa lemala olasa lemata. If by a behema where the dam of a carbon of a chatas goes on the top half of the mizbech, and yet still by the ola, a behema that's an ola, we put the dam on the bottom half of the mizbech. So ov shechat tasa lemata, by an ov where even the chatas goes on the bottom half of the mizbech, einu dincha olasa lemata, all the more so the ola. The Ola Sa'ov should be Lamata. Tamalomar Umalak Vihiktir Venim Tzadamo. That's why the Pasuk says that your Malak is Rosh, your Hiktir Mizbech, Venim Tzadamo, Ker Mizbech. What? Vichisala al Daitach Lachar Shehiktir Choser Mamatza? Does that order make any sense? You've already burnt the entire body. It's a carbon Ola. Now you're going to be Mamatza? Why does it say that? Why does it say Umalak? The way the Pasuk reads is Umalak as Rosho. Vihiktir Hamizbecha. Right? You do the Malika. You burn the animal, v'nim tzadamo, and then you squeeze out the blood. Too late, animal's gone by then. So Ella Lomelcha, it tells in this order to tell me, Mahaktara Barosh HaMizbech Af Mitzui Barosh HaMizbech, just like the Haktara has to be Dafka on the Rosh HaMizbech, the Mitzui also is done on the top half of the Mizbech, on the Rosh HaMizbech. So says Gemara, ha, ketzad. So how does this all work? How does he bring the carbon ola? Haya ola bekevesh ufana lesoviv. The Kohen goes up the ramp and he turns off to the soviv, as we've discussed. There's that small ramp that you can get to the soviv, which is certainly the top half of the mizbeach. Ubalo lekeren dromus mizrachis, and he reaches the southeast corner of the mizbeach. Again, further away from the Kodesh, Hayamolik Asrosha Mimul Arpa, and that's where he does a Malika on the back of the neck. Mavdil, he cuts both Simanim, or perhaps even fully decapitates. Umematzimidam al Kir Mizbeach, and he squeezes out the blood on the Kir on the Kir Mizbeach. So the Bryce is going to bring a machlokas exactly about where they do the Ola Sa'of. So yeah, it's Lamala, and that's why he's got to be on the Sovev, but in Masal Lamatame Raglav, Afilu Ama Kshera. That apparently, the Tanakama at least tells us, that if he does the Mitzui on the Ama right beneath the where he's standing, right beneath the Sovev, so that's also going to be Kosher, because that's still the top half of the Mizbeach. Now, it doesn't say what he's doing, it just says Asa'a, he does it. So we're talking about whether it be the Malika, the Mitzui, that meaning both of those should be done on that location. So we're saying that if he does it even in Amma beneath where he is, that's still considered the top half of the southeast corner of the Mizbeach. So if that's perfectly kosher, says the Tanakhama. Comes along Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omrim, Kol Atzma Einasis Ela Barosh HaMizbech. No, the whole thing is supposed to be done on the Rosh HaMizbech, which means not underneath the Sovev. Since the Pasuk says, Umalak Vihiktir V'nim Tzadamo, so we make the Asiyah Sa'ola and the Haktara both have to be Barosh HaMizbech. So you can't go an Amma below where he's standing. That's no longer considered the Rosh HaMizbech, even though it's the top half of the Mizbech. So my binayu. Now over here, my binayu means something different than it normally means in Shas. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says my binayu kolomar b'maykamiflugi. Normally, my b'nayim means what's the nafkamina between them. But over here, what do you mean what's the nafkamina? They just told you what the nafkamina is. They're arguing whether you're allowed to do the avoda on the one amma beneath where he's standing. That's the nafkamina. So my b'nayim can't mean what's the nafkamina. Kolomer b'maykamiflugi. What's the nekudas hamachlokas? What is the point of dispute over here? Hal karchuk l'tanakama b'gufei islay v'hiktav nimsadamo t'ilav su lekeliyam nalei. Now Tanakama also agrees that it's got a bit that we compare it to Haktara, and just like Haktara's Barosh HaMizbeach, so too the Malika's Barosh HaMizbeach, because if Tanakama didn't hold of that, how does he know it's got to be in the top half? And yet he also requires the top half of the Mizbeach. So what are they actually arguing about? Says Gemara, Abayi v'Rav Adami Tavayu, Osa Ma'arach al Gabi Soviv Ika Benayu. Now Machlokas is whether you're allowed to make a little pile, a little bonfire on the Soviv of the Mizbeach and burn the carbon there. According to the Tanakama, yet you're allowed to do that, and therefore the Soviv is considered Makom Haktara. And what did we learn from the link between Haktara and the Malika? That the Malika is connected to the Haktara in the same location as the Haktara. So if it's within one Amma of the Soviv, and you can actually do a Haktara on the Soviv, so Tanakama will say, yeah, that's in the same location. That's good enough. That's close enough. That's considered the same location. Whereas Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is going to say, no, there's a fire on top of the Mizbeach. You don't go making fires, you know, all around the Soviv. You know, that's not the way it works. And therefore, it's not considered the Makom Haktara. Memela, to go not only all the way down to the Soviv, but an Amma below the Soviv, that's not the Makom of the Haktara anymore. And that, therefore, would be possible. So that is the Machlokas. The Machlokas is really whether relates to whether you're allowed to make a fire on the Soviv itself. Okay, Bala Laguf. So then the Mishnah said that he goes to the guf of the animal and he removes the mora and the notza and the b'nei mayayim that comes out with it, and he throws that to the Beis Hadeshen. So Tanur Rabban and the Braisa discusses this halacha. Vehesir esmur aso bin notzasa. So zu zefek. That is a reference to the crop. Yachal yakdir b'sakin v'yitlenu. You might think you should take a knife and cut it open in order to remove it without removing any skin and without removing the feathers. Tamalomar bin notzasa. That's why he tells me, no, take out that entire area of the bird, including the feathers, meaning remove it with the skin and the feathers that are on that part of the skin. Abiyosi ben Chananomer, notla v'notel kurkavna ima. You take the mora out, which is the zefek, and you also take the kurkavna together with it, which is the gizzard, together with it, and you don't take the notza. The notza that the pasuk is talking about is not the feathers of the bird. It means the gizzard, which is that the Torah refers to by notza. Debe Rabbi Shmuel Tana benotzasa benotza shala kodr b'sakin kamin aruba. By the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned that benotzasa means that only the notza, nothing more, only the part of the skin and the feathers that are right near the zefek. So you cut out like a little bit of, with a knife, a little bit of a window, a round little window, and you remove the skin from that area around the zefek with the zefek, because if you would not cut it with a knife, then you'd be taking out more than is necessary. So you have to take out dafka, what is supposed to be removed from the bird at that point in time. Okay, shisa v'lo hivdil. Then the Mishnah said shisa v'lo hivdil, that you're supposed to cut the bird in half. Tan Rabbanan, shisa ein shisa ela biyad. Shisa means that you do it by hand, not with a kli. V'chein omar v'ishsa'ehu kishasa hagedi. And that's what the pasuk in Shoftim says. V'ishsa'ehu kishasa hagedi. That shisua, and the end of the pasuk is uma uma ein biyado. So we see that shisua means biyad and not with a knife of any sort, nor any other type of kli. The Tosefta, it sounds like that b'dieved, it's kosher if it's done with a knife. But certainly the Chachila, we're saying that the lashon of shisa means that it's done biyad, it's not done with a kli. Lo hesir samura. Let's say you did not remove the mura. So we said, or hivdil b'chatas lo hivdil ba'ola. The Mishnah had said, if you did the chatas, you cut both simanim by the ola. You only cut one sim. Puzzle. You do any of these things, so it's going to be puzzle. So the Gemara brings a shita that disagrees with our Mishnah. We're going to have three different explanations as to what exactly the machlokas is really all about. So says the Gemara, Masnisin delok Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah seems to be very much against Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. D'tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Shemati, Shemabdilin b'chatas ha'of. Because Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, I have a tradition that Mavdilin b'chatas ha'of. What? He really holds you're supposed to decapitate the chatas ha'of, you're supposed to cut both simanim of the chatas ha'of. So you look at Rashi, Shemavdilin, on the second skinny line, Shemihivdil lo pasal. No, not that you're supposed to, but that it's not going to pasal the carbon if you are Mavdil b'chatas ha'of. So says the Gemara, my benayu. And once again, over here, what do you mean, my benayu? Nafkamina is, if you are mavdil b'chatas ha'of, is it kosher, is it possible? Says Rashi again, kolomar b'may kamifugi. What is the nekudas ha-machlokas between our Tana and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, whether if you couple simon b'chatas ha'of, whether it's kosher or not? So we're actually going to have four. I said three before, we have four different explanations of this machlokas. The first three amorayim from the four that we're going to mention hold that the isser to be mavdil is based on the fact that by being mavdil on the chatas, you're making the chatas look too much like an ola, and that's a problem. A malika of an ola is a malika that's supposed to be mavdil. The Torah was makbid that the chatas should look different than an ola, should be done differently than an ola, and if you're going to be mavdil, you're going to turn your chatas into an ola. And the Tana in the Mishnah says that it's possible to be mavdil, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who think that it's kosher if you're mavdil by the chatas, argue in other machlokos relating to the relationship between chatas and ola, and that's what the whole shaila is going to be about. If you're mavdil by a chatas, have you now equated it entirely with an ola? Meaning, if there are no other differences between chatas and ola, then it's going to be a big problem to say that you're allowed to be mavdil by a chatas, because now you have mamish made your chatas aligned with an ola. But if there are other differences anyway, there are other halachos where a chatas and ola are different from each other anyhow, so even if you're mavdil b'chatas, you haven't turned your chatas into an ola. So the first three of the four explanations we have in the machlokas are all going to be about the idea that the chatas cannot be made to be an ola, cannot be made to look like an ola. So first opinion, Amar Rav Chisda, mitzui chatas of ma'akev ikir binayu. You know what they argue? They argue whether the mitzui of the chatas of is ma'akev or not. Is the chatas going to be possible if you don't do the mitzui? So that's what the machlok is about. Why? Tanakama savar, the Tanakama of the Mishnah, who says that if you're mavdil by a chatas of, you're going to possible it. He holds mitzui chatas of ma'akev. That you need to do mitzui by a chatas of, and if you don't, it's going to be possible. The kiven de mitzui dam ka'avid maisa ola. So since you do the mitzvah of the dam because you have to, and now you're also going to be mavdil by the chatas of, you've just made your chatas of into an ola. You've treated it exactly like an ola. So bechatas you covered maisa ola bechatas of. You've done a maisa ola on a chatas of. So the malika is supposed to be different, and you made it the same. That mitzvah chatas of is not ma'akev, and therefore you could be mavdil without being mimatze. So you didn't do a maisa ola bechatas, because the ola that you don't do a mitzvah is going to be possible. So when you, even if you happen to have been mavdil and malak more than you needed, that's just cutting extra meat. That's not considered that you turned the chatas into an ola, and therefore it's going to be kosher. That's one explanation. Explanation number two, Rava Amar, Shihiya b'simen sheni ba'ola sa'of ma'akev, that Ika Benayu. What they're arguing is, if you do Shihiya in the second simen of an ola sa'of, whether that's ma'akev, whether that passels the ola. See, by Shechita of a behema, if one is shoheh between the first simen and the second simen, if one delays between the first simen and the second simen of the shechita, it's going to passel the whole shechita. It's got to be straight. You can't cut one simen, take a break, have a drink of Coke or something, and then go back and cut the other simen. No, you got to cut it straight. You can't delay at all. So what about now that we know by an ola sof, you also need to sever both simanim, not a shechita, but a malika, is shihiyah going to pasul? If you do one and then the other, is that going to pasul? That's the machlokas that this issue about being mavdil the chatas off entirely centers around, and it works as follows. Tanakamas of Shia b'sim sheni bolasof lo ma'akev. That Shia b'sim sheni and the olasof is not going to pasul it. Meaning, even you could do Shia. The avakav to Shia. Kavid Maisa Ullah Vaval Shihia Kavid Maisa Ullah Bachatas. So let's say when you cut both Simanim and the Chatas, even though by definition, since there's a requirement to cut Basar after you cut one of the Simanim, so by definition there's a Shihia by if you're gonna cut both Simanim and the Chatas, yeah, but that's still called a Maisa Ullah. Because by an Ullah you're also allowed to be Shohad. There's no psul of Shihia by an Ullah, so it's still gonna be a problem. Whereas Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon Savar Ma'ak. That Rabbi Shimon would say no, shehiya by an olas hof would pasul it. So since by chatas hof after you cut one simin, you're by definition doing a shehiya afterwards. So that already distinguishes it from an olas hof. So it's not the same as an olas hof. So therefore, there's no problem in continuing to cut the other simin that is simply a mechatich baser bialma. There is a broader machlokas rishonim by Malika. You know, how much is Malika related to Shechita? And to what extent do we just say, you know, you don't have any dinim of Shechita by Malika? Malika is a totally different thing than Shechita. On the one hand, it's obviously totally different, because if you were to try to do a Malika on a behema, or even an oath in any other context other than a korban, it would turn it into a nevela, right? That would be terrible. You're not allowed to do it. I mean, if you want to eat it, certainly not allowed. You would be turning the animal into a nevela. It would have tumas nevela and everything. But when Malika is being done in the Mikdash, does that take on the status of Shechita in a certain sense, such as the Psul Shehiya or other Psulim that we have by Shechita? The Ran quotes the Ra'ah and other Rishonim that Shehiya is apostles by Malika, and the Rashba holds that all of the halachos of Shechita are irrelevant to Malika. Shehiya, Drisa, Chalada, all the things we're going to learn about Maseches Chulin, about the halachos of Shechita, have nothing to do with Malika. So in the Sefer Kavad de Kashyasa, a fascinating Sefer written by the author of the Chalkas Yoav, Kavas Kuf Bezal, Kavad de Kashyasa. So the Sefer it's a little kuntras he wrote of 103 questions. Gematria Kuf Bez Aleph. Kavad de Kashyasa, 103 questions. The only thing those questions have in common is that he doesn't know the answer to them. So he asks 103 questions that he doesn't know the answer to, and all different sugyas from all over Shas. So one of the questions he asks over here, and the Rebbe Kivager asks the same question, from our sugya, that it seems pretty clear, like the Ran, that Shehiya will pasul from b'malika from Rava, that the machlokas tanoim is if someone does a malika on the Ola Sa'of, they have to be molik shnei simanim, and you're shoa ben simon le simon. So the Tanakama holds that since Shechita Sa'of, it's good enough to cut one simon, so the Maisa Shechita is already covered with the first simon, and the fact that you're molik the second simon is not midin Shechita, it's another din of being mavdil, the Rosh min aguf. So if you're shoa between the first simon and the second simon, you don't pasul anything. Whereas Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon holds that Shehiya ben simon le simon will pasul the Ola Sa'of. So it sounds like everyone agrees that there is a psul shehiya by the malika. It's just a question of whether the second simin is considered part of the malika, or the second simin is a different halacha. Yeah, you have to cut both simon by the olas ha'of, but maybe cutting the first simin, that's like the shechita equivalent. You know, that's the malika that equates to shechita by a behema. And the second simin, there's a separate din of being mavdil. But it sounds everyone agrees that shehiya is a problem. So it's mefurish like the Ran against the Rash. Where the Rashba says, nah, none of these dinim of Shechita, no Shehiya, Drisa, none of these halachos apply. So that's the kasha that the Kavad Kashyasa asks. So as Klal Yisrael works, the way we tend to do things, if someone is going to publish a sefer and say, I have 103 questions, and I don't have answers to any of them, so we take the challenge, right? So now there's a sefer called Kavad Nichusa, a sefer called Kavad Terutza, a sefer called Kavad Yeshuva. So you know, everyone published Svarim where they have answers to all 103 questions. So they've published, you could find like 5-6 different answers to this question. I don't remember any of them, but this is one of the kashas that they ask in the cover, that he asks in the cover de Kashyasa within Rava. Now a third shita though, Abayi Amar. Abayi says, no, you know what the machlokas is about? Everyone would really agree that Shehiya on the second siman of the Ola Sa'of is Ma'akev. The question over here is Rov Basar Ma'akev Ikabinayu. The fact that you have to cut the Rov Basar that surrounds the Simanim, is that Ma'akev? Is the Chatos Kasher, meaning we're assuming that by definition when you cut both Simanim, we have been assuming that by definition when you cut both Simanim and the Chatos, there is a Shehiya built in. Because you cut one Simon and then you have a requirement of cutting Rov Basar, then you can get to the other Simon. So there's a Shehiya built in because you got to cut Rov Basar. Maybe that's what they're arguing about. Do you really need to cut Rov Basar in between? That's really subject to the Machlokas. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon would hold, like we said in Rava's Shita, that since you show up between cutting the one siman and the other by cutting the Rov Basar, you're not really doing a Maisa Ola with a Chatas, because a Shehiya would passel an Ola, and that's because he holds you have to cut Rov Basar, but the Tanakhama would hold that Chatichas Rov Basar is not Ma'akev, and therefore you don't necessarily have to do a Shehiya when you do the Malika of both Simanim of a Chatas Ov. So by doing Malika of both Simanim and Chatas Ov without a Shehiya, you might actually be doing exactly the Maisa of an Ola Sa'of. So that machlokas, Abai and Rava, in how to understand the Tanakhama and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, ubeplukta the Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Abai and Rava are arguing in the same machlokas Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak argued about. Chadam or Shehiya b'simin sheni bol Sa'of ma'akev yikabinayim, v'chadam rov basa ma'akev yikabinayim. So good, exactly like Abai and Rava said, we already have other Amorayim that suggest the same machlokas. Then, now the Gemara is just going to explain the din of Rav Basar, since we're mentioning it. So it says, Mechlal to be inon Rov Basar b'chila. Sounds like the Chatchila, everyone agrees you're supposed to cut Rov Basar. It's just a question whether it's Ma'akev. Says Mar in. That's exactly right. Yes, there is such a din, the Chatchila, of Rov Basar. V'atanya, because we have a Brisa that says so. Ketzad Molkin Chatas Ha'of. How do you do Malika on Chatas Ha'of? Chotech Shidra u'mafrekes below Rov Basar ad shemigia leveshet olakana. They cut the spine, the back of the neck, and without cutting Rov Basar until they get to the veshet or the kana. Higia leveshet olakana. When you get to the veshet or the kana, chotech simon echad o rubo. You either completely sever or majority sever one of the simanim virov basarimo and cut the Rov Basar with that. And that will complete your malika. Uba ola, and when you're dealing with an ola sa'of, you have to do all of that, but then shnayim or rov shnayim. You have to cut two simanim, or at least the majority of two simanim. And so you see that you cut by a chatas only one simon, but not just one simon, also rov basar together with it. And now the Gemara finally arrives at the fourth approach of how to understand this machlokas between the Tan of our Mishnah and Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. So Amrua Kamed Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Lo Shmielu Hadam Rabbi Shimon Ben Yaakov Mishum Rabbi Lazar Ben Bedas Mishum Rabbi Lazar Ben Shemua Omar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Shamati Bechatasov Shemavdilin, that I heard that there's no issur whatsoever of being mavdil by a chatasov of cutting both simanim. Umay Lo Yavdil, when the Torah says Lo Yavdil, it's not telling me you don't have to be it's not telling me you're not allowed to be mavdil. Ein sarich lahavdil. It's telling me that there's no requirement by the Chatas Ha'of to be mavdil, but you're certainly permitted. There's no problem with being mavdil by the Chatas Ha'of. So that's the fourth resolution of this machlokas, that they're arguing about that, whether there is an isser of being mavdil by Chatas Ha'of, or simply that there's no requirement of being mavdil by Chatas Ha'of. So tomorrow we'll begin the next discussion is going to be, yeah, where else can you say that the Torah says lo, don't do it, and it means no, you don't have to. It's not saying you don't have to kill. Lots of your stuff, you don't have to kill. No, so when do we apply such a phrase? When do we not, or such an understanding of low, and when do we not? So, Hashem, at the end of the parak, we'll pick up with that tomorrow. Right.